Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala asyrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Wa ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, we continue inshallah with our series on akhlaq based on the ayat of Suratul Hujurat. And we were last Jum'ah on the ayat 11 and 12, and that's where part of ayat 11 I completed, and then inshallah we will complete the rest of that today. And then we continue with that also in the coming Jum'ah inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, in ayah number 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعد الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعدا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, O you who believe, let not a group mock another group. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor let some women mock other women. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor defame one another, nor insult one another by nicknames. How bad is it to insult your brother after having faith? And whoever does not repent, then such are the zalimun, such are the oppressors, the transgressors, and the rebellious people. O you who believe, avoid suspicion. Indeed, some suspicions are sin. And don't spy, and don't backbite one another. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would hate it, so hate backbiting. And fear Allah, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts repentance and is most merciful. My brothers and sisters and elders, we spoke about the issue of nicknames and we spoke about the issue of suspicion in last Jummah. And I want to continue from there on to the issue of backbiting. Now I know some of you are saying, well, there goes my social life. But that is the reality, issue of backbiting. Why is this such a big issue? Just think about this, and why is this such a big issue, and why is it something which I call the terminal illness of the heart? It is terminal heart disease, and why is it that? And that disease has three branches: ghiba, buhtan, and namima. Backbiting, slander, and insinuations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by He began this ayah by warning us to remember the basis of our brotherhood, which is faith. We are not an ummah because we are from the same race, or from the same color, or from the same nationality, or from the same tribe or family. We are one ummah because we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without partners. The basis of our brotherhood is the worship of Allah jalla wa ala, not anything else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us of this basis of our brotherhood, which is His worship alone. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited people from mocking one another and laughing at one another. My brothers and sisters, a good sense of humor is essential to survival. A lack of sense of humor is injurious to health. But there is a difference between laughing at people and laughing with people. Laughing with people, alhamdulillah, is good. It's good humor and we should do that. But laughing at people, which is what is called mocking, this in Islam is haram. And to laugh at somebody, to mock somebody, especially when that person is a believer. Now, Islam does not even permit us to mock at somebody who is not a believer. Please understand some of these things. Even though we say believer, it does not mean that there is a special law for Muslims and a special law for non-Muslims and we can mock at non-Muslims. No, no, no. The same law applies across the board because this is a matter of your character. It has nothing to do with somebody outside. So if you are somebody with bad character, with a character which backbites and mocks people, then you will do that no matter who it is. So there is no sense in having two separate characters. I bring out one for the benefit of Muslims and I bring out something else later. This is not even possible. So Islam does not differentiate and make separate issues of that. But especially, this is like saying stealing is haram, stealing is a sin, but somebody steals the mic from the masjid. It is theft, but this is like, you know, the ultimate is stealing from the house of Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I mean, that is also stealing, but it's even much worse than that. And that is how we look at this issue, especially when it comes to ghiba, especially when it comes to mocking our brothers and sisters in Islam. As somebody said, conceit only needs a mirror, but arrogance needs another person to demean. You can't be arrogant alone by yourself, right? Conceit, you look at the mirror and you say, oh, mashallah, I look good. I mean, that's it's between you and the mirror. But arrogance is a different issue, right? And mocking is therefore arrogance. It is narrated in a hadith in Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, a man about whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says something from me, believe it. The only sahabi about whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this absolute blanket statement. He said, whatever Abdullah ibn Mas'ud narrates from me, take it. And this is the reason why many of the fatawa of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi are based on the dalail of Ibn Mas'ud. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrated and said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he who has in his heart the weight of a mustard seed of pride, the weight of a mustard seed of pride, shall not enter Jannah. He will not enter Jannah. So where else will he go? There's only two places, right? And then he says, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, a person among those who was present, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily a person loves that his dress and his should be fine and that his shoes should be fine. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is graceful and he loves grace. Pride is not to feel good about your dress and your clothes and yourself. He said, pride is disdaining or denying the truth out of self-conceit. And pride is contempt for other people. So pride in this sense is not confidence. Pride is arrogance. There is a difference between confidence and arrogance. Confidence we need to have. Unfortunately, what we need to have, we don't have. We are ashamed of looking like Muslims. We are ashamed of walking and talking like Muslims. We don't even say salam alaikum to each other. But what we should not have, which is arrogance, we have. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. What we should have, we don't have. And what we should not have, we have in plenty. Make tawbah right now. All of us need to make this tawbah. Make tawbah right now and say, oh Allah, whatever I did in the past, I make tawbah, please forgive me. In future, I will not be arrogant whatsoever about anything. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us about this terminal illness called ghibah or backbiting and compared it to eating the flesh of a dead brother. Imagine what a graphic and nasty example that is. The purpose of all of these things is to actually think about it. Sit down, reflect and try to visualize that so that it will make you feel sick. And then when you hear ghiba or you, inshallah, you will not do it. But if you hear it, at least it will make you feel sick. And that's the purpose. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give such a graphic example so that it will actually stop us from doing that thing which is so bad? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, would you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? You would hate it, so hate in the same way hate ghiba. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking with some of his friends and companions one day, and he overheard two of them who were walking behind him. He overheard two of them talking about a third person. And at that time they happened to pass by a place where there was a young goat carcass. It was been lying around for a couple of days. It was stinking, bloated. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped, he called them and he said, "Would you like to eat that thing?" They were very astonished and, you know, maybe they were offended or something, Allah Alam. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, why do you say this? I mean, of course we would not like to eat that. I mean, it's a decomposing carcass of a goat." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "What you were doing just now is worse than that." He said, "What you were doing just now is worse than that. Because you were not eating a dead goat, you were eating a dead human being. You were eating your own dead brother." In another incident, in another instance, somebody complained to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They said that there were two women in that person's house. Allah Alam, what relationship they had with him, but these two women, maybe his wife or sister or something, and they said that these two women were complaining of very severe stomachache. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam summoned them, he called them, and he asked for a bowl to be brought, and he told them, "Vomit into that bowl." So they put their finger into their mouth, and they vomited, and they actually vomited out raw lumps of flesh. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you had a pain in your belly because you have been eating raw human meat. And they said, "Ya Rasulullah, we never did that. They said, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "You have been doing ghibah." And this is one of the mu'jizat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala showed this thing in graphic terms, in actual terms, where actual lumps of meat were vomited out by these women. So what is ghibah? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in a hadith narrated in, collected in Muslim, he reported that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he asked the people, he said, "Do you know what is backbiting?" He said, "Do you know what is ghibah?" And the Sahaba said, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam know best. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ghibat," backbiting, implies that you are talking about your brother in a way that he would dislike. If he overheard this or if this information was given to him, then he would hate that kind of speech. That is ghibah. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the Sahaba the greatest of ajr for asking questions, because that is how we get our deen. One of them said, "Ya Rasulullah, what is your opinion? If the thing which I was talking about actually is in that person." I'm saying something non-complimentary. I'm saying something which is derogatory. I'm saying something which is, negative about an individual. But that is true for that person. That person actually, for example, I say so-and-so, he's a very corrupt person. He takes bribes. Or he's a liar. Right? I'm saying about somebody, he's a liar. And the reality is, the person is a liar. I can prove to you by giving you many instances that this person actually tells lies. So they ask this question. They say, "Ya Rasulullah, what if the thing that I mentioned actually exists in that person?" Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and listen carefully, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "If that thing actually exists in that person, then it is ghibat. If it does not exist in that person, then it is buhtan, then it is slander, which is even worse." Right? So to say something negative about a person which is true for that person is ghibah. Now you might say, "Well, what should I do if a person is a liar and I am really concerned about him? What must you do?" The thing you must do is, you go and talk to that person face to face. And you give him instances and you tell him, "Brother, you tell lies. These are the instances where you have told lies. This is not good for you in this dunya. It is not good for you in the akhirah. Please do not tell lies." Then you stand in the night in tahajjud and you cry and weep before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the heart of your brother and make him into a truthful person. Now you might say, "Well, you know what? This is like too much trouble." So if it's too much trouble, then do what is less trouble, which is keep your mouth shut. Say nothing. Say nothing. My point is, if you are genuinely concerned, take the trouble. If you are not taking the trouble and you are walking around talking about that person, then you really have no concern. He is not a liar. You are a liar, because you are saying you are concerned about the brother, but you don't want to take the trouble to correct him. You don't want to take the trouble to make dua for him. Then what kind of concern is this? So this is not concern, this is genuinely, you are actually a troublemaker, you want to defame that person, you want to walk around talking all this stuff, and this is haram, haram, haram. So best thing is, if you are really not so interested, and I'm not saying you have to be interested, no. You might say, well, I'm seriously not interested in the person, no problem, alhamdulillah. Let whoever is interested do that work, but you keep your mouth shut. Do not say anything. Because if you say something, then you are putting yourself into some very serious issues with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, a man asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is backbiting? And this is in Muwatta Imam Malik. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is to mention about a man what he does not want to hear. It is to mention about a man or woman what they do not want to hear. And he said, the man said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if it is true. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you utter something false, then it is slander. If it is true, it is ghibat. And if it is false, if you are casting aspersions on somebody, you are telling things about people which they never said or never did, then that is even worse. So how bad does it have to be to actually qualify to become ghibah? Look at this. In one incident, our mother Sayyidatina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha mentioned in passing about Sayyidatina Sauda radiallahu anha to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She mentioned in passing and she said that she is like a bit heavy. That's all. And she was heavy. So she said, in passing, she said, she's like a bit heavy. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha, if these words of yours are thrown into the ocean, they will make the waters of all the oceans bitter. Ajib, see the standard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sets for us. Did Sayyidah Aisha, was she trying to demean and defame Sayyidah Sauda? No. Was she looking for some faults and she found one? No. Just in passing, just conversation. She just mentioned something, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, not even conversation. You don't even do that unintentionally. He said, if these words are thrown into the oceans, they will make the waters of all the oceans bitter. My brothers and sisters, for any community to be formed and grow together and form bonds of belonging, it is essential that people respect one another. Is absolutely critical, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in a family, whether it's in a community, bonds form because of respect. So it is essential that people respect one another. Love is the result of respect. Ghibat destroys respect. And so it destroys love for one another. Without love for one another, divisions are created and the ummah is destroyed. You and I, unfortunately, do not have to search very far to find examples of this. Yes? It's not difficult to find examples. May Allah protect us. But this is a very sad thing. Think about this. The one who does ghibah gives away his good deeds to the one who hates. I sometimes ask all these, my nephews and students and so on. You know, I ask them, can you give me some good deeds? Not one has said yes till today. And presumably they love me and so on and so forth. But what about the one you're giving away your good deeds free? Ghibah. Doesn't make sense. I mean, we will not even give our good deeds to our friends if they ask us. Right? Difficult enough to do it. Now you want me to give it away? No. Sorry. But what about, how intelligent is it? I mean, it's like retarded big time, right? You're giving away your good deeds to somebody you dislike because obviously you don't do ghibah to somebody you like. So someone who you hate, someone you despise and dislike and so on, and you're giving your good deeds to that person. Makes sense? And that's the reason why Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, his famous qawl, he said that if I had to do ghibat, I will do ghibat of my mother. Because at least my good deeds will go to her. You know, jokingly he said that if I have to do ghibat, then I will say something bad about my mother so that my good deeds at least will go to somebody I love. A man came to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh and said to him that so and so is doing ghibat about you. So Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh went to the market, he bought some fruits and he went to this man and gave him a gift. So the man said, oh, what is this gift? Why are you giving me a gift? He said, because you have been giving me a good deed. So I thought at least I should reciprocate. You know, in the akhirah I will get them. But here at least let me give you a gift because of all the good deeds that you have been giving. Think about this, my brothers and sisters. How serious is this? And that's the reason why it's so destructive of brotherhood that ghibat is prohibited so strongly. Now, what is not ghibah? To give information about a criminal is not ghibah. If you are part of an investigation, somebody has done something wrong, you know this, to give that evidence is not ghibah. To give information about someone that you are asked about, who somebody else wants to marry or to do business with, and you have some negative information about them, to give this information is not ghibah. It is your duty to warn your brother or your sister, right? So that's not ghibah. And the third one is to speak and warn people about somebody who is corrupting society or corrupting Islam. This is also not ghibah, because you have to warn the general public about a person who is doing something wrong. But other than these three things, speaking ill about anybody, irrespective of who that person is ghibah. And as I said, if it is true, it is ghibah. If it is not true, then you are the biggest of mischief makers, because you are now imputing things which are not true onto other people. A branch of ghibah, I told you there are three things to talk about. We spoke about two, ghibah and buhtan or slander. The third branch is called namima. And namima is carrying tales and insinuating and signaling and things like this. Al-Hafiz Al-Mundiri, rahmatullahi alayhi, he said the ummah is unanimously agreed that namima is forbidden and that it is one of the greatest sins in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, no person who spreads namima will enter Jannah. And in another place he said, no qattat. Qattat is a person who eavesdrops and then he carries tales. He said, no qattat will enter Jannah. Now, what is this namima and what is eavesdropping? Namima is like this. For example, say somebody mentions me to you. And then he says, oh, yaavar beg, huh. Ab aap bolte saab, kai kun ko bura bole. Mai kya bola? Mai bura bola. You get the point I'm making? He didn't say anything, but he said many things. Right? This is namima. This is namima. Unu kya kare malum? Tune kya bola? Tahajjud padhe se bol raha? Nahi bol raha. They say this. I'm always aware when I'm talking Urdu of all my other brothers who are not fortunate enough to know Urdu. People will say, oh, you know that man, you know what he did. Now, is he talking about his tahajjud? No. Namima is to implicate and insinuate other people and spread negative stuff about them without actually saying anything. And this is something where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Jannah is haram for that person. That person will not enter Jannah. Think about that. So serious. It is so serious. Why? Because this sows hatred in people. It sows suspicion. It takes away the respect that people have for one another. We do this for individuals. We do this for huge groups. For example, one very common thing you hear from Muslims. Ajib, this is something which you don't hear from non-Muslims. But from Muslims, we hear so many negative things that they talk about the ulama of this ummah. Yes or no? Negative stuff about the ulama of this ummah. Who are you cursing? Who is the alim with respect to the ummah? The alim is the father of the ummah. Because al-ulama'u warasatul anbiya. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. He said the ulama are the warisin. They are the inheritors of the anbiya. The nabi is the father of the ummah. So the one who inherits from the nabi is the father of the ummah. Figuratively speaking. So the ulama are the fathers of the ummah. So if you curse your own father, who are you actually cursing? Yourself. You spit at the sky, it falls in your face. Simple as that. So if you talk derogatory in a derogatory manner, or you speak disparagingly about the ulama, then who are you actually disparaging and who are you actually insulting? Yourself. Why would you do that? I'm not saying the ulama are anbiya. I'm not saying the ulama have no faults. They are like you and me. They are human beings. Of course they make mistakes. Of course they do wrong things. And again, as I said, if you are so concerned, go talk to the person. Go talk to that alim, go sit with him, beg with him, plead with him, tell him, have mercy on yourself and all of us, don't do what you're doing, and stand in the night and cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the heart. If you can't do that, do nothing. But do not try to defame. It's a very, very sad thing that we defame or we try to defame our own ulama. It is a very, very sad thing. Because when we defame an alim, we are speaking against the ilm. And that ilm is the ulama of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please, save yourself from this. It's very, very bad. Now, what should be our attitude towards the gossip? Ibn al-Hajar al-Haythami, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, a person must do six things. Number one, he should not believe what he has been told, because the one who spreads namima, the one who spreads gossip, is a fasiq. That person is an evildoer, and therefore, according to the scholarly census, do not believe a fasiq. Also, the ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if a fasiq, the liar, comes to you with any news, verify it, lest you should harm people in ignorance, and afterwards you become regretful for what you have done. And this is ayah number 6 of Surah Al-Hujurat. So therefore, the person who is coming to you with ghiba, by his action, by his word, he has shown or she has shown that they are fasiq, that they are liars. So first and foremost, do not believe them. Number two, tell them, warn them against their own action. Tell them, don't do this. What you are doing is wrong. Do not repeat this before anybody else. Be concerned about your own akhirah. Number three, if the person does not repent, then you must break ties with that person. You must hate that person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our aqidah of al-wala wal-bara, lillahi ta'ala faqat, that we love a person or we hate a person only and only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this person then qualifies to be hated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he or she is deliberately committing haram and they do not want to be warned, they do not want to change their ways. Number four, you should not think badly about the one about whom this person was speaking. So if this person was speaking about Zaid, then you should not feel bad about Zaid, because this man is a liar. So why must I change my opinion about Zaid? I have a good opinion about Zaid, so I retain my good opinion, because I do not believe this liar who is coming to me with some story about Zaid, which is ghiba. Number five, what he has been told should not make him spy on others and look for the faults of others. So now I hear something about Zaid, now I start spying on Zaid. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How bad is that? So not only have I listened to this ghibat, and again remember, speaking ghibat and listening to ghibat are both equally bad. If you are sitting in the room and listening to the ghibat, your good deeds are also being transferred. Please understand, there's a general, it's like crowdsourcing, right? From everywhere. Don't do that. Don't become a crowdsourcer. Okay? So, ghibat is, even speaking about it and listening to it are equally bad. So, number six is that he should not approve for himself that which he told the other person not to do, and therefore he must not pass on that malicious gossip which came to him. In the Al-Sahihain is Bukhari and Muslim, it is narrated that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in one of the gardens of Medina, and he heard the sounds of two people who were being tormented in their graves. This hadith is one of the many proofs of the azab of the qabr. Many proofs. There are proofs in the Quran and the hadith. And incidentally, I'm mentioning that in passing, because this is one of those hadiths. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these two people in these two qubur are being punished for something which was easy to avoid, but they did not avoid it. And they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what is that? They said, one of them used to indulge in namima. He used to gossip and he used to take all these tales, carry tales about people. And he said, the other one did not protect himself from urine, which means that he used to maybe urinate standing up and the thing would, splash on his clothes, and he was not bothered with that. He says, apparently something which is easy to avoid, but they did not avoid, and for that they are being punished in their graves. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asked for a green branch, and he cut it into two, and he put it on the two graves, and he said that inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lessen their punishments as long as that branch is green. Now please understand, this also is one of the mu'jizat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you go and put green branches on graves, nothing is going to happen. Right? Just like Musa alayhi salam's asa, which he struck on the water, it parted the ocean, did it only once. Didn't happen every time he touched water. And that's because it was one of the mu'jizat of Musa alayhi salam. And if you take your stick and slam it on water, you get a lot of water in your face. That's about it. I have to say this because otherwise people take it away and then this next thing you know, they are all in the graveyards putting green stuff on it. It's also narrated again in the Sahihain in Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of suspicion, for suspicion is the falsest of speech. Do not eavesdrop, do not spy on one another, do not envy one another, do not forsake and leave one another, and do not hate one another. Be, O slaves of Allah, brothers to one another. Narrated also in Musnad Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood from Abu Barza al-Aslami radiallahu anhu, who reported from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O you who have spoken the words of faith, but faith has not truly entered your hearts. Imagine how serious is this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, you have spoken the words of faith, but the faith has not entered your hearts. Do not backbite about the Muslims and do not seek out their faults. For whoever seeks out their faults, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seek out his faults. And if Allah seeks out the faults of a person, he, Jalla Jalaluhu, will expose him in his own house. Think about this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not look for the faults of people, because if you look for the faults of people and expose them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose you. And if Allah wants to expose you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will demean and humiliate you inside your own house. With your own family, you will lose your izzah. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said, I knew people who were not great scholars, they did not know a lot of deen, but they hid the faults of others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a lot of izzah. He put their love into the hearts of people. And a lot of people respected them and had a lot of izzah. And he said, on the other hand, I knew people who had a lot of knowledge and who memorized the Quran and who did many things. But they used to seek out the faults of people. They used to expose people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defamed them and demeaned them. My brothers and sisters, very, very serious. Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu said, the one who tells malicious gossip to you will tell malicious gossip about you. This indicates that the person who spreads malicious gossip should be hated and not believed nor trusted. How can he not be hated when he persists in lying and backbiting and slandering and betraying and deceiving, envying, spreading mischief among people and cheating? He is one of those who try to sever the ties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded must be upheld, and he spreads mischief on the earth. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ash-Shura, إِنَّمَا السَّبِيلُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَظْلِمُونَ النَّاسَ وَيَبْغُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Allah said, the way of blame is only against those who oppress men and women and rebel in the earth without justification. For such, there will be a painful torment. Imam Shafi rahmatullah said, whoever spreads gossip for you, spreads gossip against you. Whoever relates tales to you, will tell tales about you. Whoever, when you please him, says about you what is not in you, when you anger him, he will say about you what is not in you. Sometimes you feel very happy. Somebody, you know, introduces you. This is Shaykh Mirza Yavar Beg, Baharul Ulum. I say, oh, mashallah, mashallah, you know. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. I know I'm not a Shaykh. I know I'm not even a drop of water. Where is the question of Baharul Ulum? Because the one who's saying this, Shaykh Mirza Yavar Beg, Baharul Ulum, will say it as long as Shaykh Mirza Yavar Beg happens to please him. The day Shaykh Mirza Yavar Beg says something he doesn't like, now he will go the other extreme and he will do mughalita and he will do exaggeration in demeaning and defaming me. See the beautiful advice of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. He said, the one who says about you that which is not in you when he is happy will say about you that which is not in you when he is angry. So do not be pleased with that. Don't allow it. If they say it, correct it. Tell him, sorry, I am who I am. Take it or leave it. But don't exaggerate. Do not exaggerate. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and this is the last hadith, and we will close with this. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim reported from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He asked Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he asked the people, he said, do you know who are the masakin, who are the destitute of the ummah? And the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, they said, a poor man amongst us is the one who does not have any dirham or dinar. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no. He said, the poor of my ummah, would be one who would come on the day of resurrection with prayers and fasting and zakat, but he would find himself bankrupt on that day because he would have exhausted his fund of virtues. Since he hurled abuses upon others, he brought calumny against others, he unlawfully consumed the wealth of others, and he shed the blood of others, and he beat others, and his virtues will be credited to the account of one who suffered at his hand. Please understand, character assassination is worse than physical assassination. You might say, I never killed anybody, but you killed a lot of people. You killed a lot of people because you spread bad stuff about them, and that is worse than actually murdering them. And on the day of judgment, the accounts will be made equal. And that is why I always say, may Allah bless the slanderer because he gives unasked. My brothers and sisters, let us save ourselves from deeds which wipe out the good that we do and which make us among those who deserve the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us ensure that we do nothing which damages or harms anyone in this ummah. Even if you cannot do good for somebody, at least minimum, keep your mouth shut. There's a great deal of virtue in saying nothing. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and to accept your ibadat and to accept your good deeds. There is a request to pray and make dua for a brother of ours who is undergoing treatment for cancer. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him completely free from this ailment and to cure him completely and totally, and also for our sister who has just undergone an operation as well, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely cure them and give them complete and perfect health, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them in this perfect health till the last day of their lives, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them when he has to take them in a state of iman, in a state of yaqeen, and give them the bashara of Jannah before they die, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.